Matthew 24, here tonight. I think of the fact that there's a spiritual war that we are involved in, and everybody is involved in it. Everybody's experiencing it. The struggle in the spirit. And let me just assure you that we all are targets of the enemy. If you're a child of God, he targets us all. You know, he targets the pulpit. He targets preachers of the gospel. He sets his sights on preachers. Quite often I say to my wife after a weekend, I'll say something like, do you know that preaching is hard? Do you know that it's hard? And I guess she knows that it is because I've told her enough times that it is. For a lot of different reasons. It isn't easy. It's a struggle. Mentally, it's a struggle. Spiritually, it is a struggle. There's so many factors involved. Not only is it, do you have the message? Do you have the word from God? Not only that question, but also have you fully prepared yourself to present what God wants to say? And then there's also, like our brother mentioned in Sunday school this morning, there's also the possibility of the enemy coming in and trying to steal the seed of the word. He comes in and tries to destroy what God wants to accomplish. I said to my wife today, I said, do you know, sometimes preaching feels like you're pushing a car uphill with the emergency brake on. I've never done that before, but that imagery came to my mind today. Sometimes it's a huge task, challenge to be able. And I thinking about that this afternoon, I was thinking, I'm so thankful that I'm not the only one that has experienced this. I read this little statement from Charles Spurgeon in a little booklet that he has called An All-Around Ministry. Here's some words from Charles Spurgeon. He said, I have heard of a brother who trusts in the Lord and does not study, but I've also heard his people do not trust him. In fact, I'm informed that they wish him to go elsewhere with his inspired discourses. For they say that when he did study, his talk was poor enough. But now that he gives them that which comes first to his lips, it is altogether unbearable. If any man will preach as he should preach, his work will take more out of him than any other labor under heaven. If you and I attend to our work and calling, even among a few people, it will certainly produce a friction of soul and a wear of heart which will tell upon the strongest. As the words of Spurgeon, who is a, as they called him, a prince of preachers. I'm glad I'm in good company sometimes. I remember this, and I know some of you have been around it a long time ago, but I remember, of course, Brother Huff, you know, he's such a wonderful preacher. But I remember, I think it was on a Wednesday night, that the service was kind of moving slow. And somewhere as he got started preaching, went into the message just a little while, and suddenly he closed his Bible and said, let's pray and be dismissed. And we all prayed and we left wondering, what happened? And I think he just come up against something there and he just thought, I can't keep going on in this. I'm going to stop. Now, if you think that's, some of you, I don't know if you're in our interview, remember that. That was when we were here between 79 and 82. Some years later, when we were pastoring out in Oklahoma, Bill Finley came and pastored about 20 miles from us. And he had a Wednesday night, frustrating night. Things weren't going well. For whatever reason, as far as his preaching. And I don't know if he'd heard about what Brother Huff had done or if he just took it on himself to do it. But he took it a step further, as only Brother Finley can. And he shut his Bible and said, let's be dismissed. And he walked out the door. He walked out and turned the lights off And all the people were sitting in the sanctuary. I haven't done that yet. Amen. I think I went through all that just to say it's important to pray for the preacher, whoever he is, and whoever steps up to the pulpit, because it is a formidable task to try to do the will of God. Matthew 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Endurance. It's a last day topic, subject, that we need to talk about here tonight. Now, I don't like the idea of just saying, well, we're just going to tie a knot in the end of the rope and hold on and hope we can make it to the end. I don't like that philosophy. But endurance is a spiritual term. And that we know that in these last days there are things that are going to be happening according to the Word of God. And I think we can see a lot of these things that the Scripture is describing here. Iniquity abounding, the love of many waxing cold. Iniquity abounding. Lawlessness is really what the word iniquity means. Lawlessness abounding. No one wanting to follow the will of God. No one interested in the word of the Lord. Characterizing these last days. And as a result of that, many will, their hearts will wax cold. They'll become indifferent. They'll lose heart and give up because of this explosive spirit of darkness that's everywhere around us. And sometimes all we can do is just kind of shake our head and say, what is going to happen next? Things are just moving so quickly in a direction that is away from God. You know, I don't encourage you to stay up with all the news events, but some of the things that are happening bear that the information be brought to us. Most of you probably have heard some of these things, but the department store JCPenney has teamed up with the gay agenda to try to promote that kind of wickedness in their business. No reason at all for them to have to do it. JCPenney is soaring as far as their sales and their profits. No reason at all for them to do it, except that those in that place of administration to that department store, that chain, it's one of the major department stores all over the United States, they just want to promote wickedness. They just want to encourage this kind of wickedness. Now for me, and I'm not telling you to boycott it, you do what you want to do. But for me, and I get most of my shirts and a lot of things, that's where I get them. But as long as they're promoting this stuff, I'm just not going back in there. There's other places to go. But I know that boycotting is not really the answer to something that is as powerful as the spread of iniquity all around us. I know that we can boycott till we're blue in the face, but we need God to move. We need a return to the Lord, a return to God, a return to the Word of God in our nation. Government, our current administration, forcing religious groups to pay for contraceptives and abortions through their insurance providers. Pressure and forcing them to do it, and you know, a play on words as to whether or not it's really, really going to happen. But I know we don't really have a political answer. And if there's anything that we need to understand, a lot of people are saying it seems to be the most prevalent topic when you're talking about politics today, and that is that people are saying, I don't know who I can support. I don't know if there's anybody I can support. in either party, any of these candidates. I don't know if they're the type of person that we can really support to be a leader of this country. And I think that what is happening is that we're coming to a place in the United States of America that people who are people of faith and people who are serving the Lord, that they won't look to politics or they won't look to economy or they won't look to all these things, but they'll begin to cry out to God. Cry out to God for mercy and for His help. And so that the church will become the force for God that we are to be. And I don't mean, you know, just in the political realm. I'm talking about that we are the light and we are the salt in the world that God has called us to be. Amen. All these things, because all these things are happening, the love of many is waxing cold. People are losing their heart to serve God. They're losing their heart. There's something about the spirit of this age that is affecting the hearts and the minds of Christian people. They see what's happening, and it's almost as if they're saying, whatever we do, it's not going to succeed. Whatever we do, we might as well just go with the flow of what's happening in our world today. I think a lot of people are weary with trying to maintain and live a life for God. And there's all these pressures that are on from every direction. But the scripture says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. So we are called of God in these last days to spiritual endurance. Endurance. What are you made of? What do you have? What kind of strength of character do you have? What kind of strength of spirit do you have? Do you have a whole, do you have an experience with God that is going to see you through? I believe we can get a hold of that. And that's what many of these testimonies we're talking about here tonight. We got to get a hold of something that is the bedrock of our confidence in God, so that when the winds are blowing and the adversity and the iniquity and all the things that are blowing against our lives, against our families, against our church, that we've got a hold of something from the Lord, and it's going to keep us strong. And we're not going to bend, and we're not going to be, you know, tossed around by the philosophies and the thinking of this world. I want to ask you and challenge you here tonight, purpose in your heart that you are going to endure no matter what comes your way. Purpose in your heart that you are going to remain faithful to God no matter what the trouble is or what the situation is. I am going to endure to the end. I'm going to remain true to the Lord all the way to the end. Amen. Like I said, I've been encouraged by not only the testimonies tonight, but different ones who have come to me and testified of God's working in your life and God speaking to you. And there have been different ones who've spoke to me about that. And I have to say that whenever I hear those reports, it encourages me. It blesses me. It strengthens me, because I believe that we all collectively as a body, that when we edify one another, we strengthen one another with the ability to endure in these times. I'm not suggesting, you know, that we get the mentality we're just barely hanging on and that we're going to tie our knot on the end of the rope and hope that we can survive to the end. I don't believe that endurance is just barely surviving. I do not believe that. I do believe that it's possible for you to live victorious in an age when every wind is blowing against you, every spirit of adversity is working against you, and everything is counter to God and counter to the word of the Lord, and you sense all of these pressures, and you can still endure and live in victory and still experience the touch of God, the presence of God, and you can still see God working and moving in your life in the middle of all the mess of this world. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we have been called to discipleship. We've been called to be disciples. Luke chapter 14. A disciple, if you're going to endure to the end, you're going to have to get your focus set upon Jesus and upon the word of the Lord, and don't let anything distract you. This is not necessarily a homiletically correct message here tonight. This is just what's on my heart tonight. I just want to tell you that we're going to have to be followers of the Lord. We're going to have to be in step with Him. We're going to have to be following His purpose to be like the Lord, to strive to be like Jesus. With all of the role models that are in this world, most of them so disappointing in the sports world and in the entertainment world. And again this weekend, another high-profile singer has died with a drug addiction. Heartbreaking to see that people have fallen into the traps of the enemy. And everywhere that we look, we see the effect of the world, the effect of sin. And so we need to be pointing our lives and the lives of our families and our children to look to Jesus. Don't look to Hollywood. Don't look to the sports world. Don't look to all of these high-profile people as role models. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Him. And you do that by becoming a person who reads the Word and studies the Word and meditates upon the Word of God. And you have every opportunity to hear the voice of God speaking to you. Then you become a follower of the Lord. Luke 14 in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is a phrase which describes, that gives to us the exact contrast here in this verse of Scripture. Your love is so, you so fervently love the Lord and are so fervently committed to the Lord that all earthly affections seem like they can't even come close. They're not even close, almost to the point that they seem like that they're so opposite that it's like hate for those things. Doesn't mean literally that you hate your family. It just means that your commitment to God, your commitment to the Lord and the things of the Lord are so great that nothing, not even the closest things to you in this life can even compare to the kind of commitment that you have made to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these times are not times that we can be just kind of, you know, barely making it as far as our walk with the Lord. These are serious times, and it's time for people who will just sell out completely to the Lord and let nothing in their life compete with your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, you know, it's not that someone is having to call you or press you to say, you need to be at church, or you need to come to prayer meeting, or you need to read your Bible. You know, when you make this kind of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is just this spiritual drawing factor. Your heart is drawn to the things of God. Your heart is drawn to prayer. It's drawn to the Word of the Lord. You have a hunger for it, a desire for it. No one's compelling you or pressuring you to do the right thing. You have a heart after God, so you are drawn to the things of God. Amen. Amen. That even your own needs, your own, it says, and even your own life also, this kind of commitment to the Lord and this kind of discipleship even goes to such a degree that even your own self-interest become nothing. Because you're so interested, so pursuing after God and after the things of the Lord, that's really what matters to you. Instead of our prayers being things like, Lord, give me this, and Lord, bless me with this, and Lord, help me with this, and use me in this area, and Lord, protect me, and everything has to do with Lord. And not that these prayers are all bad prayers. It's just that if we're not careful, we just, even our spiritual life becomes just so self-focused. That's all we think about. We're not considering the fact that we are called as disciples of Jesus Christ, and He laid down His life for everyone. And that's the call of God that each of us has as disciples. You see, he wants your heart. He wants your affections. He wants your desires all to be set upon him. Amen. To be set upon him. This is how you can put yourself in a position that you can persevere. You can stand the pressures of this day because you have wholly given yourself to the Lord. Amen. Let's read verse 28 of Luke 14. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he hath sufficient to finish it? First of all, your love has to be to such a degree that there's a fervency in your heart for God that can't be matched in any other area that's competing for your heart, anything in your life. It has to be such a fervency. And then secondly, this text, Luke 14, 28, is that a lot of people have in their spiritual life, they've gone so far with God. That's really what this is describing. Which of you intending to build a tower, good intentions, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost which, whether he have sufficient to finish it. So not only does it have to do with our heart and our affections being after God, but it has to be to a commitment that I am going to follow through and see it through and do what the Lord has called me to do. I'm not going to let anything distract me from that. I'm going to be what the Lord wants me to be. There may be some of you here tonight that you've started off really well. There's been a foundation laid in a particular direction to serve God and to give your life completely to God. But somewhere along the line, you didn't fully count the cost. So now all you have is a foundation, a good start. But you've forsaken that and you're moving after other affections and other interests and you're not following through with the plan of God and the purpose of God in your life. What a tragic thing. A foundation that's laid, but a building that's never built. The purpose of God, it's not realized because you have held back and you have stopped. You didn't count the cost. You got started well, you did run well, but you're at a point right now in your life and you have to admit, I had a good start. I had a good sense of direction, a good purpose that God put on my heart and a calling that he's put on my heart. The foundation is still just sitting there. But I've moved off to other things, interested in other things. Hopefully it's not the affections and the desires for the things of this world. Oh, the sad thing of dilemma of a life that never realizes the purpose of God, that goes after their own will and their own desire and their own interest instead of following the will and the purpose of God. So I just say to those of you, if there are those of you in this service here tonight that you're just not seeing it completely through, you stop somewhere along the line in the progress of your spiritual life and calling. If that's where you are, get back to God's purpose. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen to His Word, and do not forsake the call of God that is upon your life. Don't turn away from it. The foundation is laid. The purpose of God has already been put before you. Don't forsake those things. See it through. Which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. We need to be reminded here tonight that God's plan is the plan of fulfillment, blessing, the joy of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord upon your life and your future. Your future belongs to God. It does not belong to you. Your life belongs to the Lord. Your future is in His hands. And if you chase after other affections and other desires and other things in this life, then you're going to have a life of disappointment and unfulfilled accomplishments and a life that will always look back saying, if only I would have followed the purpose of God. I'm not saying that you're going to completely turn away from God, but many people turn away and backslide because they lose sight of the call and the purpose of God in their life and they follow after other things. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Go back to God's purpose. Repent of those things. Deny yourself. Surrender to the will of God. Amen. And let the Lord help you. Amen. The third thing that I see in this text in Luke 14 and verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. This is a call to fight, a call to war. As I've already described at the beginning of this year tonight, that all of us are a target of the enemy. Every one of us. Preachers of the gospel, we're targeted. Fathers, you're targeted. Moms, you're targeted. Young people, you're targeted. Every one of us, if you're a child of God, the enemy has set his sights upon you. And his ultimate goal is your spiritual destruction. He wants to bring you down. He wants to destroy you. He wants to defeat you. He's against you. He hates you just because you have been called by the name of the Lord, because you have started out in a walk with the Lord. The enemy hates you. You've set your heart upon the Lord, and as a result of that, you become a target of the enemy. I believe that this passage of Scripture is telling us that in order to face these times, to persevere, to endure, we have to be willing to fight. We have to be willing to put up a resistance to the pressures and the ways of this world. We are involved in a spiritual battle. We're involved in a struggle, not only for our own souls, but for the souls of others around us that we could possibly influence for the kingdom of God. The enemy hates you. He hates me. He hates the church. He hates the body of Christ. He hates everything that we stand for. And he's targeted you and he's targeted me. He wants to destroy us. You're going to have to be willing to fight. Amen. And I know it gets a little bit wearisome. The struggle gets hard to fight and to resist the forces of the enemy. The scripture says in Isaiah 59, verse number 15, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The more that you commit yourself to the Lord, the more that you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more that you are following after the call of God, you're going to see the enemy attacking you, your life, your mind. He wants to destroy you. But God has called us in these last days to endure. Endure. Stand up and to be victorious in the face of all these things that are going on around us. Every time that you see something that Satan is attempting to do, let that be your cue to press in even closer to the Lord. Every time you find yourself in the middle of some spiritual struggle against your soul, let that be your spiritual cue to seek the Lord like you haven't before. To get in the Word, to pursue the things of God. Amen. That's the spiritual battle that we can fight and that we can win. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you are young people. Others of us have been serving the Lord a long time. It really doesn't matter. He wants to take you down if you're 50 or if you're 15. It really don't matter to him. He just wants to destroy you. He wants to make sure that you don't endure to the end. And I've known of people in the ministry, serve the Lord 30 years, 40 years, do great things for God and get down closer to the end of their ministry. And I don't know what happened. They just got weary with the struggle or I don't know exactly all the things but I've seen friends and different people in the ministry get down to the end of their years and just cave in completely. Cave in, lose heart, lose conviction, lose the battle. and haven't endured to the end. What a sad indictment. So whatever your age or whatever you're facing right now, this is what's on my heart here tonight. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't allow the fight to knock you down and to destroy you. Get back up. Get back in the presence of God. Get back in the Word of God. Let the Lord touch your heart. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and let the Lord begin to work in your life. The foundation is there, and the enemy doesn't want you to keep building on it. He wants you to stop right now where you are. But God, He wants to help you. He wants to help you. Get you right back and on track of the Word of God, the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. Let Him do it. Let Him work in your life. Yield to the Lord. Yield to the voice of the Spirit of God. God is not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. The enemy, he's trying. He's working on you, trying to discourage you and hinder you, stop you. But don't be discouraged. Get a hold of God. You know you can do that right here tonight. Right in an altar of prayer. You can do that tonight. You can get back to God. You can get back to that place in the Lord and let the Lord help you. Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, Lord, do a work, Lord, a work of the Holy Spirit among us tonight. Every one of us, Lord. Lord, we want to endure to the end. We want to be faithful all the way to the end. Now, let's pray, Lord, do a work of your Spirit among us here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning, I have to admit that I felt like I was beating the air this morning. I felt like I was getting nowhere fast in the service this morning. Come down here, spent a good part of the afternoon here at the church, asking the Lord, Lord, just need you to speak, need you to work, need you to accomplish some things among us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have sensed the confirmation of the Spirit, the confirmation that God is at work. Praise God. Even through these testimonies and other things. Hallelujah. Well, I just thank God for confirming His Word, coming by to bless and to help us in this place. So I want to ask you, could we have 100% tonight? I know that it's plenty early. Could we have 100% in the altar here tonight? Could we have everybody just to come and spend some time here in the altar? If you need to kneel at your seat, I understand. Or if you can't kneel, then just pray where you are. But everyone, I'm talking about your heart is seeking after God 100% here tonight. Everybody. Would you do that? Would you do that? The altar is open right now. And I ask you to pray. I ask you to join with me. From the youngest to the oldest. Let's cry out to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to endure to the end. Lord, we want to experience victory. We don't want to stop short of the things that you're wanting to do, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, move in every child, every young person, every mother and father, every family. Lord God, do a work among us, we pray. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your presence, your power among us here today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Folks, let's call out to the Lord. Let's call out to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord for help. Let's ask the Lord to accomplish His will among us in this place today. Hallelujah.